One, if you would please stand. Let's turn in our hymn books to page 150. Page 150. Let's sing all three verses of He Lives. Are you glad He lives this morning? All right, I got about three amens. There we go. I'll ask you again after we sing a verse or two. Here we go.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to me.
Let's sing that second verse.
In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives. Walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within.
Rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives. Along life's narrow way, He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He
for a God who lives and is not dead. Amen? Well, we'd like to welcome everyone to Metropolitan Baptist Church this morning. If this is your first time here, it is an honor to have you here in our services with you. And church family, it's good to see you again this morning. Our pastor, Brother Jim Turner, is in Temple, Texas this morning preaching down there. So keep him and Miss Marcia in your prayers as they return back home with us. But for us this morning, let's turn around and welcome each other to Metropolitan Baptist Church.
That's how we sing Love Lifted Me in this church. All right. Yeah, you got to practice that. All right, let's turn to page 78. Excuse me, page 354. 354. We'll sing the first and last verse.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed His birth. God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
On the third,
tell of the cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid Him, tell how He liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever was heard. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story most Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious.
once more. Let's turn to page 78. 78. When we all get to heaven.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Get to that part that says, shout the victory. Let's really shout that out, okay? On the second verse.
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven,
job on that last verse.
Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Good. You may be seated.
gentlemen, if you'll place, we'll get ready to take this morning's offering. Go over a few announcements here. You got a ladies' brunch tomorrow at the Cracker Barrel at 35. We will next Sunday morning. We'll be having a baptism. Now, folks, there's only two reasons why we baptize around here. One of them is for those who joined the church who's not been baptized in the Baptist church. And the other is because we have salvation. We do have one that was bad, needs to be baptized because of salvation. Oh, come on, y'all can do better than that. We have one that's been baptized because of salvation. There we go. I like that very much. Thank y'all. Ladies' fellowship on the 6th. That was good. Smoke in the Mountain. Let's see what else. We bring that together just right in. Anyway, Miss Sandra has already bought the tickets for that. And if you have said, I want a ticket, and have told Miss Sandra that, please pay her for that. She is starting to sell jams and jellies on the sidewalk out here trying to collect money or make up for that. Sherry Davison is the one you need to talk to about the IMAX Jerusalem thing. And ladies, retreat on the 27th. There are still a few things that we need. See Miss Marcia about that. So she's already threatened me if I bring up a truck window, I might do it anyway. So let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be able to give, to show that we love you, Lord. Right now we're asking you to be at this offering, be at the gift and the giver. Lord, be at the pastor as he's out of town. Lord, just protect him on traveling mercies, Lord. Be at the Brother Allen as he comes here in just a while. Hide him behind the cross. Give him the words you want him to say today, Lord. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
Tree that he knew would be so that we might go free with tears in his eyes. God looked down through time, saw him spat upon, rejected and mocked. Still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created with great love for man. God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. Nothing
Amen. Praise the Lord for that tree. Amen. So that we might go free. From the information I gave earlier, please keep that discreet at all possible. I'd appreciate that very much. Very, very much. Amen. Well, I'd like to give congratulations to the Barnes family. Congratulations on the new addition to your family and getting your son married there. So, what a blessing. Amen. A new joy to have a family member inside of your house and home. So congratulations, guys, on that. Amen. And then to my beautiful wife who's in the nursery. Can she see me in the nursery or anything? Can she hear me? If you can hear me in the nursery, happy birthday, darling. I love you. She is 21 today. She looks 21. My beautiful bride. Amen. I married the ageless bride, my soulmate. And I just love her so much. And today is her birthday. And so we're going to celebrate it today. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 12 and verse number 10. Revelation, chapter number 12 and verse number 10. Revelation, chapter number 12 and verse number 10. And I love how the Holy Spirit works. All the songs we sang today were about Jesus. And then the song that we just heard sing was about the cross. Amen. And what I want to preach to you about this morning is the power in a testimony. The power in a testimony. Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 10. Let's have a word of prayer. This is your day, Heavenly Father, that we as Christians have come to hear your word. This is the day, Heavenly Father, that we've come and we've attended Sunday school class for you to speak to our hearts. Today is the day, Holy Spirit of God, that we've come to fellowship with other like-minded believers today in hopes to recharge ourselves for the week ahead of us. Today is the day, Lord, that you know that there are lost people sitting underneath the Word of God this morning. And we pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would just move upon the congregation to make us bolder in our testimony, to make us aware of our testimony, dear God, and to see our place with our testimony. Lord, we also pray unction of the Holy Spirit of God for that soul that is not saved this morning, that they would see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up, a salvation, a tree, dear God, as we just heard sung,
that they would be saved today. Help them to see the words of God that says today is the day of salvation. Help them to become born again believers through your Holy Ghost today, God. And then, Lord, we are thankful for this day. We are thankful for our pastor and Miss Turner, that you'll bring them back safely to us, Heavenly Father, and allow your word to go freely and have liberty as he preaches there in temple. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for my family, for my wife, for my friends here at church. Bless this morning. This is your day. In Christ's name, amen. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 12 and verse number 10, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Revelation 12:10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Amen. That's all I need to hear. Amen. To get excited about the Word of God. Now is come salvation. If you've ever been lost before and you knew you were on your way to hell before, you knew the uneasiness that you have in your soul and in your heart to know that you need salvation. And now is come salvation. Look, not only just salvation, look at what he declares up in heaven. He says, now is come salvation. And strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. If you don't know who the accuser of the brethren is, can I remind you that that is old Slewfoot the devil? Can I remind you that that is Satan that is cast down? Right now, see, the devil thinks he's so powerful. The devil thinks he's so strong because he's the prince and principalities of the air of this world. His will is being done in men and women's lives. We see the effect of the devil on people's lives every day as they struggle with issues and as they struggle with problems. See, the devil thinks he has something, but my friend, there is coming a day where this accuser will be cast down. But look at what he says, which accuses them before our God night and day. And they overcame him. Can I tell you that they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto death. Woo! Can you see the power that your testimony has over the devil? Praise God for a testimony. Amen? Boy, I tell you what, I've been born again. Not just saved, folks. I've been born again since 1990. That's how long I have been saved. And just to get to know the church this morning, because I don't know what your testimony is, but it's a powerful one. I just want to know, if you have been saved longer than 5 years, will you put your hand in the air? All right. Put your hand. Amen. All right, Brother Joseph in the sound booth's not saved. Pray for him. Amen. Not really. Sound men and video men need to get right with God. Amen. All right. If you've been saved longer than 10 years, would you raise your hand for me? Wow. 10 years. Praise the Lord. All right. Now let's get to some big money here. Let's talk big money. All right. How many of y'all have been saved over 20 years? You've been saved over, and some of you ladies are like, I'm not raising my hand because I know my age. So we got 20s, okay? 25 years you've been saved. Wow. 25 years. How many of y'all in here are under 25 years old? Would you raise your hand? You were under 25. You wish, amen? All right. How many of y'all, okay, let's go my age. How many of y'all have been saved longer than 36 years? Wow. Wow, you see the testimony? 36 years. Okay. How many of y'all have been saved longer than 45 years? 45 years. Oh, man. Okay. How many of y'all have been saved? Some of y'all are lying because you're not even that old. All right. I'm not going to say no names over here. All right. How many of y'all have been saved longer than 55 years? Wow. Praise the Lord. You mean 55 years ago, God was still doing the same thing that He does today? He is saving souls? You mean that people still have a testimony that goes back 55 years that is going to overcome the accuser of the brethren? Woo, man, I didn't mean to preach on that this morning. How many of y'all have been saved longer than 60 years in here this morning? Oh, stop it. You know what happens when you lie in church, people. All right? 60 years? Okay, I'm going to hit it because my soul, 60 years. Don't tell me there's somebody in here that's been saved longer than 75 years. 75 years. 75 years. You see that hand in the back?
75 years. Right over here, Miss Katy Perry, 75 years. 75 years. You mean to tell me? You mean to tell me God was moving 75 years ago? And God was willing to move 15 years ago. And then God was willing to move just 1 year ago through the power of a testimony. What is the testimony? It's not what I've done, but what Jesus Christ did. And that testimony of salvation, praise the Lord. How many of y'all's hands we dropped significantly from 75? How many of y'all have been saved longer than 65 years? Would you raise your hand? 65 years. Praise the Lord. The power of a testimony. How many of y'all got born again by the Holy Ghost in church? You came to know Jesus Christ in church. Whether it was through an altar or a Sunday school class or a room in the back, you were saved at church. Let me see your hands. Really high. Amen. How many of y'all were born again at home? Through a soul winner, through a radio program, through a church track? Amen. Put those hands up. Let everybody see. Amen. All right. Put your hands down. How many of y'all were saved in another place other than home or in school? You accepted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Raise your hand. All right. You guys got to get saved today because that don't count. All right. Amen. No, I'm just kidding with that. Praise the Lord. See, we all were saved at different times. We were all saved in different places. Y'all know the old song. It was on a Monday, Jesus saved me. How many of y'all were saved on Monday? You know Monday. Amen. Some of y'all going, now, Brother Allen, you're asking me to think way too hard. Amen. I'm not going to ask you that. But can you see something? There's something that we share as a church family. And you know what we share that has power, that has strength? It's our testimony. The power of testimony. Today, the message will be quick and the message will be short because it's only one thing. I'm going to show you three testimonies out of the book of Mark. Three testimonies out of the book of Mark that I hope will help you this morning. That I hope will help you share your testimony to somebody else out there who needs to have a testimony. I hope you see these three here in the book of Mark, chapter number 5. But then for some of you in here this morning that are playing games, I hope you see that the game is over today. I hope you see that what you have is artificial and Jesus Christ is the real thing. And that you have a testimony that you'll say today on September the 7th, I know I have a testimony today. And then for some of you, you have no idea what we're talking about, a testimony. You don't know why I'm so excited about a testimony. You don't understand this born again. What is that? How can a man be born again? Old Nicodemus said in John chapter number 3. But today, can I introduce you to the one that we tell the testimony about, Jesus, through three different lines out of the book of Mark, chapter number 5. Turn over there with me to the book of Mark, chapter number 5, verse number 1. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 1. My NIV Bible here, the pages stick together, so excuse me for a second. Amen. Brother Colton gave me this Bible, so it's his fault. Amen. All right. Mark chapter number 5. Sorry, preacher. This is really King James Version. All right. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 1. Look at this. And they came over, unto the other side of the sea. So I can give you a brief background. Jesus has just crossed over the sea of Galilee. And remember, there was a storm that was tossing and turning the boat, and the water was coming on. They got really scared, and they said, Jesus, care not that we perish, that we die. And He rebukes the storm on the sea, and now they come across the sea on the other side. Them poor disciples, poor thing. They've been through so much. Had I been one of these disciples, I would be flipping out. Amen. We just go through a storm on the sea and look what they encounter when they get on the other side of the sea. Here in Mark chapter number 5. Into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately. It didn't say that they had a chance to do some sightseeing. They didn't have a chance to go down to the flea market and buy some antiques. No, look what it says. And when they were come out of the ship, immediately there met him the mayor of the city. Amen. Look what it says. There met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him. And the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. But look at verse number 6. If you underline, highlight your Bible or make a note, this is a very important phrase. But when he saw Jesus... But when he saw Jesus, for those of you who know your Bible, you may say, but Brother Allen, he was possessed with demons. He couldn't see. Well, my friend, Jesus' power can surpass demons. Jesus' power can surpass sin. And Jesus' power can surpass the flesh. Amen. But when he saw Jesus afar, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee that by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? Look at this. If demons will obey God, then why can't Christians obey God? Amen. Look at this. And he answered and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him insomuch that he would not send them out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. I asked myself this question a couple of times. See, we're in Jewish country here. And one of the laws that God gave the Jews was not to eat any kind of swine. Now I realize that through the conquest and through the different things, some of the culture got invaded by the Gentiles there. But my friend, what is a bunch of swine doing where Jesus said that ought not be? See, a lot of times in our homes, we got a bunch of swine in our home. We got a bunch of swine in our heart, bunch of swine in our life. And that swine is representative of sin. And the only thing that has to deal with sin is demons and the devil. And God says, get that out of here. And look at what he does with that. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And a herd ran violently down into a steep place of the sea. Now, even in this, I see a beautiful picture of mercy. See, Jesus Christ could have sent these demons straight to hell. See, Jesus Christ could have destroyed them through his power right then and there. But what did Jesus Christ do? He granted them their wish. See, my friend, Jesus is in the dream-making business. If he's willing to grant a request of a demon, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you if you ask as a child of his? So know that God is there for you. And there were about 2,000 that were choked in the sea. Brother Curtis, that's a lot of pig to shoot, amen? Boy, me and the boys would have a field day with that. That's a lot of bacon. That's $5 a pound. We'd make some money, amen? Look at that. And they fed the swine. Oh, sorry. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country that went out to see what was done. And they came to Jesus to see that was possessed with the devil. And he and then the legion sitting and clothed. And this is a beautiful line to underline. And in his right mind, they were afraid. In the right mind, they were afraid. And they saw it, told it how it befell him that was possessed with the devil. And also concerning the swine, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. One of the saddest verses in the Bible, Jesus had just taken this man who they tried to tie up and was unsuccessful, whom they tried to help and was unsuccessful. Jesus comes in immediately into their country. He helps him. He heals him. He's sitting. He's clothed and in his right mind. And these people say, get out of here, Jesus. We don't want to have nothing to do with you. Ain't that sad? Lord Jesus, never help us close our hearts off when God tries to do something in our life. You know why these people probably ran that fed these pigs? They were making a little bit of money on the side off these pigs. So they were mad and they were upset. Sometimes when God does things in our life, we get a little mad and upset. How are we telling it in the city? What is the testimony of others when we tell of Jesus Christ? Look at this here. And they began and they parted to pray out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, they had been possessed with the devil, prayed him. And look at the passion here. He prayed him that he might be with them. He's saying, let me go with you, Jesus. Let me get on this boat and go back to Capernaum. Let me go back with you across this sea. Don't leave me here with these heathen. And look what he says. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Jesus Christ just said right here, he said, son, go tell your testimony. And he departed. And he began to publish in Decapolis. For those of you who do not know, Decapolis is not just a city. Decapolis is a 10-city region across the Sea of Galilee, and through these 10 cities, this man told his testimony. See, had this man been to Bible college, only Bible college he's been to was Jesus Christ University, amen? And he got his master's degree, amen? And he began to publish this through these 10 cities of his testimony. And how great things God or Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Praise the Lord through this man's testimony that people marveled. Point number one of my message today is the testimony of the degenerate. The testimony of the degenerate. See, this man, when he crossed over the sea, he had a lot of problems in his life. And one of the problems that he had is that this man was crazy. He was absolutely crazy. Anybody that's going to run around naked is crazy. Amen? You see a bunch of crazy people on the beaches. Amen? Running around naked with no clothes on, in and out of the house. People that have to be bound up with chains are crazy. Amen? People that are a menace to society, then they're crazy. Amen? Can you go to a human level with me real quick? The disciples are just now, they feel horrible because Jesus had rebuked them on the sea for their faith. They're feeling sad and depressed, and they want to impress the master, and they want to, you know, increase that relationship with Jesus. Then immediately off the boat, there comes a man out of the cemetery who's stark naked. He's been cutting himself. He has blood all over him. What is your first reaction? If we was to go to the cemetery down the street and a naked man with blood all over him, screaming and raging and dirty, come running up to you, is your first instinct to say, "Hi, I'm from Metropolitan Baptist Church. Would you like to know Jesus?" No. Let me tell you, my friends, I'm like, "Brother Curtis, get your gun, get your taser, get something. Get away from here." You know, it would scare me to death. But you know what? Jesus knew something that I didn't know. And sometimes when we go out and we try to share the gospel with people with problems, they've been chained up. They've been in prison. They've been chained up because of their circumstances, because they have problems in their life. Sometimes it's a little scary to go into the prison house to try and preach the word of God, but yet God has a testimony for them. Sometimes people are naked in their condition, meaning that they're just open to the world. They're open to philosophy. They're not open to change. And guess what? Sometimes it's intimidating to go to these people and witness to them. Cutting themselves, bleeding on themselves, hurting themselves. How many people today are hurting themselves and to seek an answer, but yet it's intimidating. Yet my friend Jesus Christ has a testimony for them. At the very bottom, it says something very important. But when he saw Jesus. Would to God that we that have a testimony of salvation, whether it be 75 years like my sister in the back, or maybe 1 year up here on the front row, would we show them Jesus Christ? Not a plan, not a program, but the tree, but salvation. Number one, there's a lot of degenerates in Fort Worth, Texas. There's a lot of degenerates in Lake Worth, Texas. You can drive down the street. You don't have to go to the cemetery. You know what's very interesting about this? Immediately when he knew that Jesus was coming, he fell down at Jesus. See, we'll have people come through these doors. You'll have people approach you because there's something different about you that they want. They want Jesus and they want peace. But I don't know what to give them, Brother Allen. I haven't taken a class on theology. I haven't done personal evangelism. Well, you know what you can give them? You can give them your testimony. What's your testimony? You know, there was a time when I sat in Sunday school and my Sunday school teacher told me about Jesus who died on the cross. You know, they want to hear that story. Hear your testimony. Not only are there degenerates here in Fort Worth, Texas, Lake Worth, Texas, but there are degenerates all across the world. Who will go so that we can see the next testimony that is up on the page? Number two, we see the testimony of the dignified. The testimony of the dignified. Look at this, verse number 20. And they departed again to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for them. And all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again, and this is a very important verse that you need to understand. Jesus ain't going to go where he is not wanted. Jesus Christ is never going to supersede his will over man's will. He is going to leave and he will go somewhere where he is needed. And guess what? He gets on the ship and he crosses back over. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. This man was dignified. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a well-respected man in the community. Jairus. See, we didn't hear the degenerate's name. Did anybody catch his name? Anybody catch his name when he was clothed in his right mind? See, Jesus is showing us a progression here. See, there's people down on this lower level. They need Jesus. And then there's also people up here at this kind of level that we put people at. And they actually have some names. They need Jesus too. And look at this. He says this, and behold, the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed after him and thronged him. We see the testimony of a man that needs Jesus. He was popular. He was prominent. But my friend, he had a problem. You know what? He had a problem that his position cannot fix. Some of us in this auditorium this morning, or some of you sitting there, even people in this world, you may be a prominent fixture at your job. You may be a prominent fixture in your community. You may be a prominent fixture even in this church. But my friend, what's so important that you never forget, you still need Jesus. God allowed a situation and an issue to come up in this man's life where it brought him to his knees. Because where did Jairus put himself? He put himself down at the feet of Jesus. And he said, Jesus, I need your help. And what is he trying to show us through this passage? He's trying to show us that it don't matter how much is in that bank account, you still need Jesus. Hey, it don't matter how well your health is, you still need Jesus. I don't care who you are, but I care about what your name is and what your problems are this morning. See, Jairus has a problem. It's sad to note that in this congregation this morning, there are men and women that have some problems. But see, you're trying to figure out those problems on your own. That's why you don't have peace in your eyes this morning. You'll hear me say this over and over again. I can look in your eyes and see your soul and see there's a problem. You can see that there's a problem there because you're trying to work it out rather than going to the feet of Jesus to figure it out. You go to the loan company to figure it out. You go to the doctor to figure it out. You figure, hey, running away from the problem, that'll help me figure it out. But my friend, the problem that you're encountering this morning, it's not a church problem. Well, I don't want to be in church because I have some issues with the church. No, it's not the church problem. You have a Jesus problem. Well, I have a problem with the pastor. No, it's not a pastor problem. It's a Jesus problem. I have a pastor with a church member. It's not a church member problem. It's a Jesus problem. Well, my boss just don't understand. No, it ain't a boss problem. It's a Jesus problem. And would you be like this man who's so dignified? And look what he says at the very bottom. He needed something real. He is the ruler of the synagogue church. And if you know anything about Jewish culture, this man had everything he wanted as a ruler of the synagogue. He was treated like a king. He was educated. He was a very well-respected man as a ruler of a synagogue. Just think of your pastor, Pastor Turner, how well you respect him. And yet these men, 10 times more the ruler of the synagogue, and he should know something about this. He knew that he didn't need religion. He needed Jesus. And later in the story, we won't get there today, but you'll find that Jesus takes a selected group in with him, and he goes to his daughter, and his daughter's healed. There's something dying this morning in your lives. Ladies, is it your marriage? Is your marriage dying this morning and you're going to come down here and you're going to pray, dear God, please save my marriage, raise it up? Some of you, your finances are dying. Are you going to come down here and pray this morning, dear God, my finances are dying, I need this? Hey, my spiritual life is dying. I find myself going backwards instead of forward for Jesus Christ. My testimony is not what it ought to be. But you know what Jairus is going to take with him? He's going to take away something that's powerful and something real because Jesus helped him with his problems. From now on, Jairus ain't going to be known as the man who is the ruler of the synagogue. Jairus is going to be known as the man who Jesus raised his daughter. And you know what's going to happen? People are going to go flock to him later and say, tell me about what happened. Tell me what's going on in your life. We see the testimony of the dignified. What are you this morning? Are you the degenerate? Are you the lowly? Are you the weak? Are you the dignified this morning? Are you strong? Are you powerful? Are you educated? Are you proud? It doesn't matter your social status. What matters is your testimony. Do you know Jesus? You know what's sad about these two testimonies? The same type of people will burn in hell, both poor and rich, both black and white, both young and old. Let us not forget the testimony of salvation. And the last testimony I want us to see here is the testimony of the desperate. The testimony of the desperate. Let's keep reading here in verse number 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. If you go back into the Old Testament and look at Leviticus, you'll see this, understand this issue of blood. And how that this woman was not good in society. How the other people looked down on this lady for 12 years. She was an outcast. And look at this here. And had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. If you have your Bible, Christopher Little, underline that word right here. When she had heard of Jesus. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall behold. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? You think Jesus is asking this question because he ain't all knowing? Or is he asking this question because he's ready to hear a testimony? He wants to hear a testimony of what he's done in somebody's life. Sometimes we'll conceal in our lives what God has done in our lives. When was the last time you got saved? Man, tell somebody about it. Look at this. And the disciple said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? Ooh, man, if the disciples can get smart with God, who are we to think that we can get smart with God too? And here's a beautiful picture, guys. This is like grace and mercy. I told y'all this one time. I was raised by a mama who liked to beat kids. I'm not talking about spanking. She liked to beat us, and she would laugh at it. My mama's about this tall, and she's about this wide, and I love her to death. But you see, had I got a smart mouth with my mama, boy, she would whoop me and beat me. How many of y'all know what a whooping is? There's a difference between a spanking and a whooping. Amen. I remember this time. See, I boxed golden gloves and I got smart with my mom. I thought, you know, I'm pretty big and I'm bad because I can throw a punch. Right. And so I'm in here. I smarted off to my mama. My mama takes her hand and she tried to swat me across my face. You know what I did? I did a Holyfield underneath it, you know. And when I went down like this, I didn't know mama could come down with the other hand. And she got me across my face and I hit the ground because of that smart attitude. Well, I found out where mama got that from. One time I smarted off to my grandma. Now, grandma is the same height. She's not as beautiful. She's kind of more thin. And I got smart with grandma one time and grandma said, boy, you go out there and you get me a switch. I was like, Grandma, no, I'm sorry. She said, boy, I said, get a switch. I said, yes, ma'am, because you don't say twice to Grandma. And this is when Grandma whooped kids. How many of you Grandma whoop your kids? You are godly for that, amen. Shame on you parents making us go through that. And so guess what? I go out here to this tree, and we had these trees that were like, they were like willow trees. You understand what I'm talking about? They're big and shaded. I went out there, and there was this branch growing off. It was about this big, and I cut that thing off. I'm going back to Grandma. I'm sorry, Grandma. I won't smart off again, Grandma. I promise. I take the switch. She looked at me and said, boy, what is that? I said, it's a switch, Grandma. She said, baby, that ain't a switch. Come with me. And so she grabbed me by the arm. I'm sorry, Grandma. I'm so sorry. And I'm all screaming. I'm hollering. Snot's coming out like I am dying. Praise the Lord for Grandma so you don't give in to crying. Amen? Because, boy, it would have made me in worse shape. I thought my life was over and trying to fool her. I'm like, oh! She ain't going for this. And Grandma, when she whooped, she walked in a separate mode. Amen. She's walking quick. Amen. I didn't know Grandma could move so fast. Normally, she's all decrepit with a walker. She had a purpose. Amen. So I go out here and she said, baby, let me show you what a switch is. She takes that branch and she didn't go to the tree where it's sprouting. She pulled it down and she started doing this number with the branch. I'm like, what are you doing with this number right here? Well, come to find out later, she cut it long, okay? And then I come over and I bend over that couch. She wanted one of them switches that would wrap around you. And the switch that she got, there was a caterpillar that was still laughing, amen? He thought it was Six Flags as she was going back and forth and whooping me, amen? And guess what? Grandma wasn't one of those ones where you could put those hands back there and block. Because you know what she did? She said, baby, you may move them. I'll get them arms. And she would just work them from the bottom to the top. Now I know why she chopped up so good. Because she always gave them kids them whoopings. But you know why I got that? I said all that to say this. Jesus said, who touched me? And how dare these disciples get so smart with the Son of God? They just saw him calm the sea, people. They just saw him cast out a demon. They know they're about to go somewhere and see a dead girl get raised up. And even with God moving, and this should scare us in a church, even with God moving, with God's people seeing that, they still got smart with God. How dare you say you're going to do something here? How dare you say you're working in somebody's life? Woe be unto us Christians when we try to judge another man's actions when they're being dealt with God. Who are we to think that? But as so the disciples, Jesus Christ shows mercy yet again. And why did he say that? Verse number 32. And he looked round about. Woo! Amen. I like country words like reckon. I like country words like round about, like it's round about time to go eat lunch. Amen. Amen. Look at this. He looked round about to see her who had done this thing. You know what? This is kind of emotional to me. The Bible said there were throngs of people thronging him. He asked this question, who touched me? And to understand the position of this woman. See, the position of this woman is low, people. Because the Bible says it touched the hem of his garments. And praise the Lord for a good wife who knows how to put a hem in pants to help me understand this. That's the low part of the dress. That's the low part of the pants. And this woman was down where she could no longer go because she spent all she had. And she only could get down to touch the hem of his garments. Now, my physical mind asked this question. Was she that low because somebody pushed her down? Was she that low because maybe she stumbled on something? Or was she that low because whenever you have an issue of blood, you guys with anemia understand, or those with you with a lack of iron, you understand you get a little weak, don't you? And maybe she couldn't run to catch Jesus. And maybe she couldn't catch up to him. But the only place she didn't have the strength to push, the only place she could go was right between those legs. And she knew that if I could just get a breath of Jesus, that she went low to get him. Aren't you tired this morning? You know who I'm talking to. Aren't you tired this morning? You spent all you had. Sure, the makeup looks nice today. The clothes sure do look fine today, Christian. But are you tired today? Aren't you just wanting to get the hem of his garment? And you don't care about recognition. You just want Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And you know what's beautiful? When she touched him and she asked that question, what did Jesus do? He turned right around and he looked right at her. He didn't have to ask his disciples and he didn't have to ask the crowd. When you have a testimony, guess what? Christ knows right where you are. And let's finish this up. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done to her, in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He got another testimony. He got a testimony of the desperate, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, There came from the ruler of the synagogue a house, certain of thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And we get to the testimony. I'll close with the testimony of the desperate. She was conscious of his activity. Verse number 27. It wasn't easy for her to get to Jesus. The crowd was thronging her. But she said in her heart, I'll not settle till I arrive. Have that same determination in your heart and in your life. Say, I'll not settle until I arrive at the feet of Jesus. She said, I'll not stop until I get to Jesus. How many of you are determined today that says, I'm not satisfied. I'm not going to settle and I'm not going to stop till I get to Jesus. But you don't understand, Brother Allen, what I've gone through in my life. But I may not understand, but God does. You don't understand the grief, but God does. Don't look at man, but look at Jesus. Verse 27, and when she heard of Jesus, baby boy, I should underline that because we see in Romans a very clear passage that says, how shall they hear except they be sent? I want to know, what did she hear of Jesus? Did she hear how the lame walked again? Did she hear how a palsied hand was made straight? Did she hear how the sea was calmed? Did she hear how a demon was taken out of a man? What did she hear and how did she hear? We know one thing though. She wanted to investigate it. And praise the Lord, she did. And in your life, you'll hear and see about the testimony when we shared about the great things God done. She had been looking. She had been learning. And she had been longing for this Jesus to come. Did she look down the road to wait for Him to come? Was she leaning on a tree to see if He was over there? But I know one thing, she was longing in her heart to be with Jesus. Hey, family, you remember when you got saved? And how that longing was in our heart to be with God? Some of you have lost family. You've lost friends. And what does your heart long for right now? You long for that great reunion day in that blessed Beulah land when our Holy Ghost of God will carry us on and sanctify our salvation. Look at this here. She completed all other alternatives. She spent all that she had. When I read this verse, it reminds me of the Cymbalta commercial. How many of y'all ever seen the Cymbalta commercials? You got the guy on the bicycle out there riding through the park on his bicycle. You have the lady flying the kite. You have the people skipping down the beaches. And Cymbalta will fix that one problem in your life and make you happy-go-lucky. I love it. And then right at the end of the commercial, all of a sudden you see all this stuff start scrolling up and down on the screen. Warning, taking Cymbalta causes heart attack, diabetes, blindness, paralysis, loss of hearing, loss of vision, loss of salvation, loss of kids, loss of your house. And it says all this stuff on the very bottom. Amen? And you have to take the side effects into account, don't you? And those of you who take medications, you understand side effects. They're not good, are they? But my friend, she spent all she had on the physicians, right? Can any of you name me one side effect that she had when Jesus touched her? See, Jesus don't have any side effects. Now, we can go into a whole spiritual side, amen? Talk about the good things that happen with it. But that's a result of Jesus Christ, not a side effect. That's the result of when you put Him in your life. That's what it will do to you. Not because of. See, Jesus took away everything and gave her a new life because of her testimony. And then lastly, she concealed her testimony. That's where I want to encourage you this morning. You're saved. You know Jesus Christ as our Savior. You've been that woman so desperate. You've been sinful and you understood your sinful condition. You know that and you bent down to touch His hem. But you know what? Once she felt it in her body, she knew she was immediately healed. She didn't pop up and start praising God, did she? Jesus had to remind her, now, sweetie, tell me what happened. And what did the Bible say? She told Him the truth. See, we don't got to lie about Jesus. We don't got to make things up. We don't got to make things sound grander than what they really are. All we got to do is tell Jesus the truth. See, we as human beings have a problem with truth. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm fine. Liar. We just say it because it's something that we were been taught to say as little kids. I'm fine. I'm waiting for somebody to break down in front of me and don't do it Monday. I'm waiting for somebody to break down. I'm horrible! They die. No, you're not fine. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. What's your testimony?
Because God wants to do something with you. God wants to do something in your life. And the power of our testimony we saw in Revelation chapter number 12, verse number 10 through 11, and they overcame Him by the power of their testimony. So right now, church, may I tell you, there's somebody on their way to hell and they need to hear your testimony. There's somebody who's going through a hard time right now and they need to hear your testimony. There's somebody up on a mountaintop wishing that they had somebody to praise God about being saved because they just got saved. Who else is saved with me? They need to hear your testimony. There's two ways to tell your testimony. Three ways. Tell it, live it, and write it down. That's how you should live your testimony. The power of a testimony. I'll close with this. All three of these testimonies, from the degenerate to the dignified and to the desperate, which is the desperate here, they all founded what they want at the feet of Jesus. So what are you going to do this morning, church? Where are you going to find that peace? Your eyes are heavy. Your soul is longing. And you're looking. Can I introduce to you this morning an invitation? Jesus Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'll ask the musicians to come. I heard a beautiful song this week that was entitled, Give Me Jesus. You can have all this world offers, but give me Jesus. I praise God that I have friends in this church that says that in their heart. You can have everything, but I'll take Jesus. I praise God for the testimony that some of you are living right now. You could have given up through the things that you've gone through, but yet you have not given up. You could have complained, Jesus, you ain't getting here on time. As Jairus' daughter is nigh to death, we see this house worker come and say, Jairus, what's the use? She's dead already. But yet we see Jesus' timing is always perfect. This morning, what's your testimony? Do you have a testimony? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? There's never been a time in your life where you've ever asked Him to be your Savior. You feel the Holy Ghost right now pulling at your heart. That's why you can't sit still. It's like a spotlight on you. He's calling you. He's looking at you right now. He's waiting for you to respond. Will you not turn Him away this morning? And then, Christian, can I motivate you? Start telling others about Jesus. And use your testimony. And praise God for the ones that He gives us. Heavenly Father, we open Your invitation. Right now we pray, if You're working in the heart of Your people, that You would move in the pew and upon this altar. And can I say, dear God, thank You for giving me a testimony. As a young boy, sitting at my mom's knee, trusting You to be my Savior. Thank You for that. God, can I tell You thank You for giving my son cancer? Thank You for the grace that You showed us through that time. For the closeness, dear God, that we had with You. God, thank You for that testimony. God, can I tell You thank You for giving me the testimony of my wife and of my children this morning, that others may see Jesus through our lives. For the people who are degenerate, that the world counts as outcast, dear God, help our testimony shine to them. For the dignified, dear God, the ones that are out of reach, so we think, may my testimony reach them. And Lord, to the desperate, there's a huge map right in front of me, dear God, of countries and of people that need to hear of You through word, through print, through radio. May this testimony be heard. And dear God, as You call out, who touched me? I tell You the truth this morning, it was me. I tell You the truth this morning that I am sinful. And I need You, dear God. So bless this invitation as the musicians play. In Christ's name, amen.
Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing.
If you've already done your business with God, we've already touched his hem. We've already had those demons dealt with. Have you had those problems answered, those issues resolved? Well, can I encourage you this morning just to tell Jesus thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. And continue to keep working in it. Amen. Every day and every hour. If you need to do business with God, the altar is still open. Your pew and your heart is still open.
Not a place that he can enter. In the heart for which he died. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Have you any room for Jesus? As in grace he calls again. Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now, his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may.
Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. And I love it when the Holy Spirit of God works in my heart. I know you love it when God works in your heart. And can I tell you today, God is working in our church. So take the testimony you have, and will you share it with someone this week? Amen. So God bless you all. Pray for Pastor Turner and his wife as they travel back from Temple, Texas. And keep the Dominies in your prayer, if you would, as they continue to grieve the loss of their family member. And we appreciate you very much and your family. And so God bless each and every one of you. And Brother John, we'll close it out with our chorus.
Please stand and we'll be dismissed with our chorus. It's in your bulletin or it's page 413. What a testimony this song is. I hope you can say this testimony, love lifted me. Thank you.